In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Hey, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Today, we are going to be speaking about destiny. Danny Stain and I are going to be speaking about destiny. Tell us what you said last night, Danny. This is very interesting about people receiving a doctor's diagnosis.
Well, I think the phrase that I used was that destiny is diagnosis is not destiny. I think that's what you're referring to. And that many times there are things that occur in our bodies that we immediately, we actually engage, we become believers of that diagnosis. And as a result, we end up going the full gamut of what's there. But in fact, God hasn't indicated for us to receive it that way. That when we have a mountain that's standing in the way of the destiny God has for us, we actually are called to speak to that mountain. It's got to move. We have purpose. We have yet to live and see the fulfillment that God has for us. And so I really believe that that's one of the keys of what's coming to this generation at this time in the kingdom of God, that people are going to begin not responding to the diagnosis, but responding to the destiny.
Talk to us about the contemplative nuns that you told the story. It's an interesting story.
It is. It's actually one of the most fun stories. I was recently referred by somebody else to this story, and then I referenced it and I checked it out and found out it's amazing. There are these nuns that there was a study that was done on them because they were living so old, and the interesting thing about them is that some were fat, some were thin, some ate better than others, some didn't eat very well. They were happy. There was a they didn't take medicine. They didn't go to the doctors, and but they were living for a long time. And so in this particular study, and it was actually a news program that studied them as well and did a program on them. They asked if they could do an autopsy when one of them died, and there was a 110-year-old nun who died, and they did an autopsy on her body, and they were expecting to find this incredibly healthy body inside. They said that the week before she was as spry as anything and able to do whatever she wanted to do. She was a very very active little nun, and when they opened her up, they realized she had cancer that should have killed her 60 years before. Many of her organs were totally shot, that they should not have been sustained. They sustained her life. And yet she continued on. She continued without pain. She continued without medicine. She just had this amazing life in front of her because she had destiny to fulfill. And to me, it's one of the most remarkable stories of the fact that we allow things to be spoken over us, and as a result, we give it power, we give it authority in our lives. But evidently, these nuns weren't giving anything authority in their lives, and as a result, they were able to live long lives.
The Lord has a destiny for you. You might think today, because you're broken and because you're tired and because you're fearful, that there is no destiny for you. But the Lord has a destiny for you, and it's something great. And you know what? He wants to show you that destiny. He wants to give you a glimpse, if only a peek, for a couple of seconds. He wants to show you that destiny. And you know, it's very interesting. I knew when I was a deacon that I would be on radio. I knew that was part of my destiny. I did not know that I'd be on so long. But I did know that I wasn't going to be on television, but I was going to be on radio. And I had that, call it a vision, call it a word of knowledge. I knew I would be on radio. And, you know, this is a miracle. This radio is a miracle because I'm not a person that everybody knows, you know, and I'm on Catholic radio and Protestant radio, and, you know, they write to me and say, you know what, you know, I'm not a Catholic, but your word speaks to me. The word of God speaks to everybody, if only we would listen. But God has a destiny for you, and that destiny is good.
It's very good. You know, I was thinking back as we were talking about this before the show about just the whole thing of destiny and how much that has meant for my life. I've known since I was 5 years old that I'd be doing what I'm doing today. I sensed it. It wasn't like I saw everything all patterned out, but I sensed that this would be a part of my life. And then through the years, the Lord would just reveal it and add to it and show me, give me greater clarity. And I think probably one of the most incredible things that came with destiny was beginning to understand that, you know, there's a door open in heaven. It says that we seek first the kingdom of God, and it says also that thy will on earth as it is in heaven. So evidently there's something in heaven that God has for us to fulfill on earth, that we can go there. And a few years ago I had this experience where I went in a vision, and in the vision I was in heaven and experiencing this big field that I saw, except it was kind of a unique field. It was actually, if you think of blowing bubbles and think of half a bubble sitting on the ground, then you'll kind of get the picture of what I saw. And I saw a field of these half bubbles, and inside there was a pedestal, and on the pedestal, on each pedestal was a seed. And I remember seeing it. These bubbles had like a golden hue. And I said, Lord, what is this? And he said, this is the field of destiny. I said, well, I don't understand. And he said, people have to come here to get their destiny. They have to come up to me. They've got to ask me for their destiny. And right at that moment, I watched a man jump into a bubble. It popped, and he grabbed the seed off of the pedestal and held it hard against his chest, and the Lord said, like that. And I began realizing that God is asking his people to ask him for destiny. He will give it to us. He will freely give it. In fact, in Revelation chapter 4, it says, he says, the door is open. Come up here. You can come. You can access the presence of God, and he will begin to show you amazing things. And so that whole aspect of destiny to me is amazing. And, you know, when people put diagnosis ahead of destiny, they miss the point. We're children of promise. We are children of destiny. When Jesus Luke, I believe it's Mark chapter 5, he's dealing with Jairus's daughter, and in that particular passage, they don't believe. She's already dead. Jairus's daughter is already dead. But Jesus says to them, don't be afraid, just believe. Because Jairus' daughter still had destiny to fulfill on earth. And whenever there is destiny to still fulfill on earth, that means whatever the obstacles are, whether it be sickness, whether it be things that are coming at us in other ways, even death, that when that is coming at us, we can say, wait a second. The destiny for my life, the destiny for my children, the destiny for this person here, and it's not finished. They have not completed the task that God has for them. And so this mountain must move now.
Do you hear that? Do you hear that? You might be riddled with cancer, but you have not done all that the Lord wants you to do, and you are not all that the Lord wants you to be. So therefore, you know, death has been swallowed up in victory through the power of the cross and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as I said to Jean when she came to me first, I said, take the test, go do what the doctors do. If they want chemo, have chemo. If they want radiation, have radiation. And every time you come here, I will pray with you. If only for a minute, and I will believe that God wants to heal you, and I will pray into that. And they came twice a week, and they traveled like about 25 miles each time. And today, 6 years later, she was given 6 years ago a death sentence, but the Lord had a destiny for Jean. and still completely, she has not completed the destiny, and he canceled out the cancer. Jesus knows how to cancel the cancer by the cross that he died on. He knows how to cancel your sickness by the cross that he died on.
There's a passage, I love this passage in Philippians, where Paul, he gives us actually a theology for this. He gives us, he teaches us, and he says this, in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, he says, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me, yet what shall I choose? I don't know." He's saying, I will choose. "I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith." Basically, what he's saying is I could go home. I could die and be nice to be with Jesus, but you need me, and so I'm sticking around. And literally, he is pulling into place the destiny that God had for his life here on the earth, that he was not finished. And I know that, as Father Tom was just talking, I know that there are people who are going to be hearing this, who are hearing this now, that there is going to be a release of faith where you're facing some diagnosed fatal conditions, but the Father would say to you, you have not been diagnosed by me. The diagnosis I have for you is to fulfill your destiny. You're not finished yet. And so I just release the power of God, even where you are, that God will just touch your life in a powerful way, and that he will pull you into destiny, and that literally strength is going to come into your body, a strength is going to come into your mind. There's going to be a release of his glory and his presence all over you right now.
It's really very simple, you know. St. Paul tells us, you know, I'd rather go with the Lord, but you people need me. Well, your children need you. You know, you are needed. You are needed. Yeah. And you need to say, "Lord, you canceled cancer on the cross, and I'm canceling it right now. And I'm going to believe that you're going to fix me, because you are giving me a destiny, and my destiny is not completed. I know that my destiny is not complete yet. I know that my destiny is not complete yet. And I know why I'm sticking around, because I still haven't completed all that the Lord has for me and for other people through me. I know that to be true. Who told you? I just know it. Some things you know. Some things you know that you know that you know. Other things you're saying, well, I'm doing the best I can. But Jesus Christ has a destiny for you. He says, "I know the plans I have for you. Plans for your welfare. Plans to give you a future and a hope. When you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me with you, says the Lord. And no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper." No weapon fashioned against God's children shall prosper. You've got to stand on that promise from Isaiah 54. No weapon fashioned against you shall prosper.
Yes, there's a profound thing. You know, even when we look in the natural, it's amazing to me how many times I've gone to the hospital and people are in a bed and they're getting ready to die, but they will wait, and they'll wait for somebody to get there. And I went, "Lord, how can they just wait?" And I realized, you know, it's because they can wait. And there are things that in our lives, when it comes to the purposes of God, we can say, "No, we have things to do. We have accomplishments to still do. There's still dreams, still visions." And many of you have vision and dream. Some of you don't have vision and dreams. And I want to encourage you that this is the time where you say, "Lord, show me my destiny. What am I for? What is the purpose that I have in life?" Because when you have that, it's something that you can bring in front of any diagnosis that comes your way. You can say, "Well, I don't really care care what the diagnosis says. I don't really care that all these circumstances look very different. That's totally biblical. All the way through Scripture, nothing ever looked right when God began moving. It all looked like this is an impossibility. But that's in fact the place where God always moves. He moves out of impossibility. When things look impossible to us, it's because it is impossible to us, but it's not impossible with Him. And as a result, we can press into that and we say, Lord, this is what you've called me to. This is what I've got to do. So Lord, bring the impossible and make it not only possible, make it happen, bring it about. And I really believe that that's one of the things that the Spirit of God is going to raise up in this generation. We're going to be called a generation of faith. You know, Jesus, the one thing he asks for at the end, he says, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? He's not looking for great doctrine. He's not looking for faithfulness. He's looking for faith. He's looking for people with faith. He's looking for people who believe him. He's looking for people who where Jesus looks at that family and he says, "Do not be afraid, just believe." And Jesus went in there and he told the people, he said, "She's just sleeping," because he was speaking destiny. He was speaking that this is not an eternal gone. This little girl is just, she's just sleeping. And they laughed at him. They said, "You don't understand." And people may laugh at you when you say, "I have yet future." And they're looking at your body and they're saying that's impossible. But I want you to know it is possible, because the Spirit of God has told you it's possible, and because you have destiny yet to fulfill. And in the case with Jesus, Jairus' daughter got up. And because she was sleeping, Jesus said she was. And because of that, it happened.
I'm thinking of people that are anorexic. I'm thinking of people that, you know, are bulimic. The Lord has a destiny for you. And it's not anorexia and it's not bulimia. This young girl came to me many years ago with her father. She was anorexic. And she came for prayer. And anything I said really was just falling on deaf ears. I said, "You've got to eat." She says, "I know, but I can't." "You're going to die." "I know, but I can't." We went on this talk for a long time until finally I got the Bible. And I said, "Would you please pray right now and open the Scriptures and see what Jesus has to say to you?" That's the only way I could have done it that day. She opens the Scriptures pointing to give her something to eat. Give her something to eat. I said, "Now you see, you open the Scriptures." And we prayed that God would lead you to a right place. "Now what do you desire to eat?" She said, "I want a vanilla frap." I said to her father, "Go buy her a vanilla frap, and you drink all of it, because Jesus said, give her something to eat." This is real. This is real. You know, destiny is something that God puts upon a person's life. And you might say, "I'm not worthy." Listen, there is only one that's worthy. It's the Lamb of God that's worthy, and he makes us worthy because the Lamb is worthy, the one that was slain from the foundation of the earth. He alone is worthy. When people come up to me and say, "I'm not worthy," I say, "The Lamb of God is worthy. The Lamb seated on the throne is worthy. He alone is worthy. No one else is worthy in their own power, but he makes us worthy by his blood, by his death, by his burial, and by his resurrection."
Yeah, it's amazing to me that he has so much destiny for us. And you know, we often feel like, how did I get here? Why are you letting me experience this? I've been, even just in the meetings that we've been having, I've just been like, "Lord, I just feel so..." To use a very secular term, I feel lucky. I just feel like, and I know it's not luck. I know it's destiny. I know it's the purpose of God. But I look at this, I go, "Man, God, you have absolutely revealed, you're revealing your presence in a powerful way in this hour." And I get to be a part of that. And I knew that, you know, I've known that for many years. I've known that an awakening is coming that is a part of the destiny that God has for my life. It's part of your life. And we get to move into a place of supreme excitement and joy in the days to come as the Spirit of God moves and sweeps through this nation. I have great hope for this nation, because God always moves when it's the darkest. He always comes through. I have not taken the diagnosis even of this country onto my life. It's like, no, I know the destiny that God has for this nation, and it's not finished yet. And so I'm calling it in. And you know, Daniel, when he experienced this overwhelming thing where he needed something to break through, and Michael broke through and got there. The word that's used there, it says the king of Babylon was empowering the prince of Persia. There are things on the earth. There are entities, there are authorities, including us, that we can empower. We can empower by our words. We can empower by our thoughts things that happen in the spirit, including agreeing with things that have been spoken over us, things that have been spoken over our families, things that have been spoken over our nation. We can empower. We can say, I agree that this is happening. Or we can say, no, I disagree. I believe God is going to move here. I believe something amazing is about to happen. And when we do that, we bind up the spirit that is over the regions. We bind up, not because we're speaking to it, but simply because we are not agreeing with it. We're not empowering it with our own spirits, and as a result, it will have a short-lived life, and the Spirit of God will be able to break through in phenomenal ways.
Tell them about tonight.
Tonight we're having another meeting at Holy Rosary Church, and the meetings have just been off the hook. The Holy Spirit just has been doing wonderful works. There have been a number of healings. Tonight we're actually going to have a healing meeting, and I just want to encourage you to bring the sick, and we're just going to have an awesome evening tonight. I'm really excited about it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's Friday, the 19th of July, and you're welcome to come to the Holy Rosary at 1015 Shirley Street in Winthrop. This is going to be an opportunity for the Lord to touch people, for the Lord to bless people, for the Lord to heal people, for the Lord to bring people into new birth. This is wonderful, and we're expecting no one less than Jesus. Amen. That Jesus comes, and when Jesus comes, just hold on to your hat, because Jesus knows how to do things. And if I don't know how to do things, Jesus knows how to do things. I can tell you, for the last 29 years, I had no idea how to do this radio broadcast, but Jesus knew, and Jesus led me by the grace of God. I'm not telling you he led me perfectly, because I'm stubborn sometimes, but you know, this radio broadcast is a miracle. It is a miracle. So tonight I want you to come and share in a miracle service where God is going to pour out his spirit upon us, where Jesus is going to heal the sick and heal them to the core. There was one woman, I know her, she comes on our Sunday nights. She was on the floor last night for over an hour. And she came up and she said, Father Tom, I am so drunk. She didn't drink anything. She was drunk on the new wine of the Holy Spirit. She said, I tried to get up, but there was a heaviness that kept me down. Well, the glory is heavy. It's a good heaviness, not a bad heaviness. It's the presence of God. We don't know what God is going to do. The only thing we can do is facilitate it. That's all we can do is and announce who's here. His name is Jesus. So tonight is Friday, the 19th of July. You're welcome to come to Holy Rosary between 7 and 10 o'clock, and that's in Winthrop, Massachusetts. That's in Winthrop, Massachusetts, and don't miss it. Don't miss it. And I ask you to pray for Danny and to pray for his family. and to pray for his children and his grandchildren. I ask you today to really pray for them, that God be with them in a mighty, holy, and awesome way. You know, we need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills. It's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. We do need to hear from you, because the only way we pay our bills is through people. And you can see that I don't spend half of the broadcast asking for money. I figure God pays for what he orders. If he orders a hot dog, he'll pay for it. If he orders a T-bone steak, he'll pay for it. I have to listen to what he's ordering, because that's when he supplies. God knows how to order and how to pay for what he orders. So the mailing address is Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. We hope to see you tonight at Holy Rosary in Winthrop, when the Lord is going to gather his people and heal them by the power of the Spirit. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.